and my colleague Diane Hatton, with whom I have conducted numerous of these two studies that I'm going to talk about today. We're here to talk a little bit about women prisoners' perspectives on mental health treatment that they've received in U.S. jails and prisons. Sorry. Neither Diane nor I have any relationships to disclose. I'll keep you guessing. Our studies were funded by the American Nurses Foundation and by the California Endowment. And I want to acknowledge that Diane's and my work have taken place in California. And for those of you who kind of follow what's going on in jail and prison work, the California Department of Corrections is under tremendous stress and strain and has been placed in receivership, so that the health care now in the California prison system is the responsibility of a receiver, not of the Department of Corrections. So we've lost control of the budget, of health care decisions, of hiring, because conditions were and have been so bad for so long. So just as, again, as a kind of contextual issue that our data sort of represent, for other systems it may not look quite the same. And I also want to just preface the one other thing is that I've worked with people who, I hate to age myself, but I'll just go for it. I've worked with people who have serious psychiatric illnesses for the last 40 plus years in a variety of settings, inside jails, inside prisons, in the community, in homeless shelters where I currently do service, in acute care psychiatric settings, so all over the place. And so some of what I'm going to say about what I'm seeing is also relevant, given or I use some of that exposure over the last 40 years to think about what we are currently seeing and hearing from the women who are inside. So I always think that the guesstimates about mental health issues inside are somewhat rough, if you will. But it appears as if 73% of the women in state prisons and 75% of women in local jails have self-identified as having symptoms of mental disorders, compared with 12% of women in the general population. There have been high rates of psychotic disorders, depression, anxiety, personality disorders, and substance use disorders frequently found among women who are incarcerated. They also carry significant histories of trauma, childhood sexual and physical abuse, which we know puts people at risk, for IV drug usage. Co-occurring substance use and mental disorders play a prominent role in the lives of women prisoners. So these are very complex mental health issues that would challenge even sophisticated community services in many states in the United States to provide cutting-edge best practices. Mental health and substance abuse treatment services in U.S. jails and prisons are often inadequate. And undertreated and untreated mental health problems in jails and prisons often contribute to longer sentences, prolonged isolation, hopelessness, self-mutilation, violence, and suicide, both in the jails, in the prisons, and in immigration service settings, detention settings. Our work, Diane's and my work, have really focused on trying to understand women's prisoners' access to health care inside the jails and prisons. Most of our women have experienced incarceration outside of the state of California, but they many of their examples that they shared with us are from inside the state of California. Diane and I were, I'll give a plug for our doctoral education. Diane and I are qualitative researchers that who were educated by, really out of the sociological tradition of grounded theory. Anselm Strauss and Leonard Schatzman were our teachers for too many years. They would have said too many. We didn't think it was too many. Anyway, we chose to utilize a community-based participatory research approach. We conducted 16 focus groups about health and healthcare in the U.S. jails and prisons. We audio recorded those interviews and focus groups, and we transcribed those focus groups verbatim. And we utilized a co-researcher who was a member of a grassroots advocacy organization that assists women who are reentering the community from jails and prisons. And she had a fairly substantial incarceration history herself. But we are convinced that we wouldn't have obtained the sample without her. Our sample includes 49 former prisoners and 60 current prisoners who were in the jail. Our participants were 20 to 59 years old and shared with us that they had a variety of health issues that included mental illness, substance abuse, asthma, hypertension, diabetes, musculoskeletal problems, dental problems, sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy, and other acute health concerns. We were interested in, we're going to talk today really just about the mental health issues that the women identified. And we have categorized these as individual challenges. That is, they experienced delays in treatment, they had unmet expectations for care, and they became targets of violence within the jails and prisons. But in addition, there were some environmental challenges that women talked about. And those include issues of what it is like to live with people who are mentally ill, who appear untreated or undertreated, and what that does to the environment. And what it is like for women prisoners to witness mistreatment of other prisoners who have psychiatric or mental health issues and problems. So that's really conceptually how I'm going to talk about these data. So the first individual challenge that women talked about were delays in treatment. The health problems I have are mental illness and alcoholism. At the time when I needed those medications the most, particularly for the mental illness, was when I got to the jail. I wasn't able to obtain the medication for a good 10 days, and by then I was starting to crash off the medication and was becoming just a basket case at a time in my life when I needed to be steady as a rock. another one of our participants said, I've been taking psych meds for years before coming to the jail, but when I got here, they were like, no way. I had to wait, and I had some psychotic episodes before he, the psychiatrist, saw me, and then I had to argue that I needed my medications. Unmet challenges, unmet expectations, sorry. Another one of the individual challenges that women talked about. I really needed to see a psychiatrist. The first time I went, they told me to read a piece of paper. Another one of the subjects, our participants said, you come here kicking off heroin and your body, it's a physical thing. Medical here doesn't care. They're just like, lock them here. And you just go ahead and poop all over yourself and you sweat and throw up wherever. Unless you've never kicked heroin, you have no idea what them people go through. They need to be in an infirmary. It took a week or two to get in to see him, the psychiatrist, and he would tell me to drink some warm milk and maybe put some honey in it or something to calm me down. He just tried to put me off and not give me anything. A number of women talked about folks becoming a target, mentally ill, people who are having mental illness issues and symptoms. They keep the crazy people with us in the cells. They're walking around screaming. They don't want their medication. Oh, they want their medications, but they don't get any. They irritate other inmates, and they become victims of the situation they are in. One lady got so upset with this girl who was nuts that she threw boiling water all over her. She got third-degree burns all over her chest. Another participant said, there are lots of mental people in dorms that shouldn't be there. They have real mental issues, and people that are prison people with the prison mentality will just whip their ass, and they are in these dorms, and these people that aren't all mentally there, even the deputies know the person's crazy, and they need to go where they can get some help. So some of the environmental challenges that the women talked about were related to living with people who had untreated or undertreated psychiatric illness. Some people need to be in Patton State Hospital, and instead they leave them right here with you. They are doing a Thorazine shuffle, and they're not getting what they need. They need to have that missing screw replaced. It irritated me. Another group of participants talked about witnessing mistreatment of prisoners. They leave crazy girls in here with the rest of us. When something tragic happens, they remove them. This one girl has been in jail a long time. She has schizophrenia. I could hear her talking, screaming, and yelling at people, but everyone just teased her and made fun of her. Another said, there was this one girl here for a long time, and other inmates would pick on her, and this other girl would try to protect her. So what we see, much like the other speakers today, is that jail and prisons are not well equipped to deal with persons who have complex mental illnesses, that by and large, there are inadequate mental health and substance abuse treatment services, And the harsh conditions of incarceration contribute to adverse consequences for women prisoners. Again, there are numerous adverse consequences that occur when individuals are psychiatrically ill and not getting the treatment they need. And I would suggest that there are lost opportunities to improve the health status of prisoners and the communities to which they return because these settings are not set up to actually treat the problems that are presented to us. So, what is needed? Well, we're big proponents of expanding the alternatives to jail and prison, such as mental health courts and other diversion options, so that people with serious illnesses are not coming in the numbers that we're seeing them. There are guesstimates that in the United States there are about 500,000 people in the U.S. with serious psychiatric illnesses in the prisons and jails. So what used to be the numbers in the state mental hospitals have now moved in to the prisons and the jail systems. Well, that's just not a good situation for anybody. We also think that we need to pay increased attention to gender-sensitive strategies and interventions inside and at reentry in the community. A lot of the jails and prisons, because they have been primarily built for men, approach treatment using more male-dominated models, and we need to think differently about what we're offering to women. Last but not least, we suggest that investments in community services that address issues of poverty, homelessness, and provide access to mental health and substance abuse treatment are sorely needed. I currently work in a shelter in downtown San Francisco as part of a clinical experience for students and also to provide a nurse wellness center for the residents of the shelter. And we have services in San Francisco that are so fragmented that trying to provide folks who are living in the community, in a community shelter, with mental health services simply doesn't work. And so, and many of those women have histories of incarceration, but women who come out of jails and prisons are more fragile, less connected to the communities that they've been out of for a while, and trying to figure out how to use a system that is broken is almost impossible. So Beth Ritchie really articulates the challenge that women face. And she says to us, those challenges must be met with expanded opportunities and a more thoughtful criminal justice policy. This requires a plan for reinvestment in low-income communities that centers on women's needs for safety and self-sufficiency. If undertaken, such a reform agenda might even prevent some of the arrests and incarceration of women from low-income communities in the first place. So one of the challenges certainly we face in the state of California is how do we do more with less? The state is basically broke, and we now have a policy called prisoner realignment, in which 35,000 prisoners are being sent back to the community, many to go back to the jails, as if the jails are a solution. So we have significant challenges. Many states, unfortunately, have trends that look very similar to California's. So hopefully you will be smarter than we and intervene earlier before your state gets into our state is in. But we have some significant challenges, and I'm hoping today we can get into some dialogue about how do we solve some of these. Because we've been coming to APHA for a number of years now talking about the problems and the challenges, and it's not so how do we handle this? But anyway, thank you.